Eoch tanuyap, kuige iwans kuyens na. Hi everybody, my name is kuige iwans. I'm a member of the Squamish Nation and the Yagalanis clan of the Haida Nation. You're listening to Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. We live, work, play, and broadcast from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations.
For all the Cooperative Connection, your weekly public affairs program about the cooperative sector and the social economy, broadcasting on Vancouver Co-op Radio. That's 100.5 FM and online at cooperadio.org. I am your host for the evening, Joshua Peterman. Vancouver's East End Co-op has announced that it will be closing its store on May 15th after being part of the neighborhood for 50 years. Each for All's Robin Puga spoke with Board Chair Chris Galloway about what led to this very difficult decision. Here's the discussion.
I'll try to keep it at least to the point. And there's a long story to this one, but I think it's probably just first and foremost just to mention that this was it's been a difficult period for everyone involved in this, the board, the staff, of course, and the membership as well. And really, this is a situation where we've been forced into making the decision to really start the process to close the store. And really, this comes from the fact that we've struggled for many, many years now. I'd say that we've struggled for at least 5 years financially. And there's been an ongoing decline, which has occurred over a period of likely more than a decade. This is really actually the result of many factors. We all know, I think, that the retail food landscape has changed dramatically. We all know that the way that people do their shopping for grocery now has changed. There's a lot more competition that's come into play. Robin, as an avid member that shops at the store like myself, that there's choices that came over and moved in 2017. And that really exacerbated already the level of competition that we already had. There was a store there previously as well. If you look at it, what we had been formed to really provide to our members, back in the 70s, we've seen competition now really placing greater emphasis on organic produce, bulk foods. Really, in many respects, that's where we come from. There was a position that we might have a scale problem and that we were too small to be able to survive. I'd say over the years, I think many members know that we've been able to weather many different crises, but we've got to a position where our sales have just decreased so much. We've done absolutely everything we can to really try and turn this thing around. But there's been a decrease that's been beyond material. It's been, we're talking about 30, 40% decrease in sales over a shortish period of time. And the downward spiral that we've seen and that we've really tried to turn around, we've just not been able to do that. And I think, you know, this is in many respects down, this is because of the hard work we've seen from our staff and members as well. Mm-hmm. We've even seen with COVID was a really interesting scenario. We actually saw an uptick in sales because people changed their behavior, especially in March, April, and May of 2020. And that gave us actually a bit of time. Mm. We started to say, well, look, let's try and use this. We were on our last legs then. Let's try and use this as a kickstart to try and really get ourselves into being a sustainable business. And we tried many different courses of action to try and actually move away from what we had seen previously. There was so much effort put into expansion. You know, in the end, I'd say we've kind of really, unfortunately, sadly, reached a point where, you know, we're out of time and money to really try anything more, at least as a consumer co-op.
So, I mean, you've talked about how this organization kind of started as this, alternative lifestyle type of organization, people looking for organic food at a time when, you know, organic food wasn't readily available in stores like it is today. You're saying that the retail landscape has changed so much. How do you differentiate a food cooperative such as the East End Food Co-op from, well, Choices Market directly across the street?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's something we've tried to grapple with, right? And in some ways, you speak to folks and they'll have different opinions. Some will say we needed to pivot and change in the 90s and kind of really go down that road where we saw, you know, you see many examples in BC as well as you know, the United States of almost a precursor to Whole Foods, that the food co-ops really kind of, they went down that road. And then that's not really something that the East End Food Co-op did. Mm. You know, that's, you know, one way. I think the other thing to consider, and maybe this is something as we get to look to the future, is to kind of look at this from a needs perspective. And this is not to in any way discount the needs of especially of those very loyal members. But it's clear that with all of these different choices that the average consumer is not necessarily in need of a co-op. Obviously, that's, you know, I want to really put a caveat on that to say that there's many of us that shop at the co-op because we know that it's truly local. And it's truly, you know, an organization that is really focused on its local community and you know, with, for lack of a better term, not greenwashing to some extent. But, you know, maybe there's an opportunity to continue to still do that, but in a way where is there, you know, this is something that we're looking at right now. Is there a way to try and consider a worker cooperative grocery as an option, because there's clearly a need in Vancouver for sustainable income. There's clearly a need for jobs that are well paid, but also satisfying. And, you know, there's maybe an ability to kill two birds with one stone, right? And to give the consumer, even if we're not owners, to still shop co-op, mm-hmm. and to still be able to live the values of co-op when we're out grocery shopping. And, you know, maybe even there's an ability to be able to come up with a model which allows members of the old co-op to be able to provide, you know, feedback, advisory, whatever it might be. We're still kind of dreaming about that to any workers that are interested. But yeah, I think, you know, I think that's kind of where we're at, Robin.
Well, I'm curious because you do talk a lot about the members and how they, you know, they're members because of the values, the values-driven members to the cooperative. I wonder, like, in your time on the board, have you tried to, like, make that connection, quantify what makes the cooperative difference for, like, why or how members get, or new members get, you know, information about why it's different and how they would be on board and choose the co-op over the others? I mean, I shop there because it's the East End Food Co-op and I know what cooperatives are about. I know their values because, well, we've been doing a radio show about them for 15 years, but for others who aren't or just walking by, how do you try, are you able to communicate the difference between those two stores, one across the street and one in front of you that says Food Co-op? And is that a model that can be effective?
Yeah, great question. I think that marketing the cooperative difference is such a key component of ensuring that that co-ops are successful in a world that is competitive. And to some extent, especially when you're dealing with an organization like a Choices that is owned by, you know, the second largest private corporation in Canada, that one way of being able to differentiate is to really point out the benefits of co-op that goes beyond just coming in and being able to pick great fresh produce, or frankly, even getting great service from the staff. I think it's an area that we've really tried to focus on, especially within the store. But it's not easy. I don't think it's easy for many co-ops. And you know, I think probably it's a lesson to really think about how we can connect folks, the experience, and if we're talking about grocery co-ops, connecting that experience of going grocery shopping and knowing that that experience is a co-op experience and what that stands for. And really, you know, it's not just about feeling good about yourself, right? But it's actually really, like you say, like living your values. And we know, I think a lot of people in this society right now are feeling vulnerable. It's a difficult, you know, especially if you spend too much time looking at the news, it's a difficult time to try and feel like you can make any kind of difference. And this is one small way, frankly. And, you know, I think that's something that co-ops have got to really try and do. And I think, you know, honestly, I think that the East End Food Co-op, you know, over the years has been able to do that. And I think the big challenge for us to some extent, we've not been able to grow the membership and to you know, get those folks that were spending money at the East End Food Co-op over the years to either get people to spend more money or to bring in new folks, a new demographic. The people, you know, we see a new demographic in the local area, right? Mm-hmm. It's definitely commercial drive areas changed and it's difficult to attract some folks, right?
Well, I only recently moved to like easy walking distance a couple of years ago. And I am just going to say, I feel guilty because we also get Spud groceries.
Right.
And I'm part of the problem. But I mean, like you're talking about, the retail food industry has changed. And now when I think about this, you know, Spud too, it was started as this organic delivery to your home. We talked to you about Whole Foods. Now that's owned by Jeff Bezos. Like, it is a bit mind-blowing how much the retail food industry has really changed in the last 20 years. It's certainly that I've been cognizant of how it's evolved. The thing I love about the food co-op is I go in there and I do bump into other people I know from the cooperative sector in Vancouver because that's where they shop. But I hear you. It's hard to get new people to sign up and get them down there on a regular basis and getting their food from there consistently. I can see the challenges, and new membership obviously is what you need to sustain it. I think the people that I do run into there, I will say the majority of them who I've met through the co-op sector are not young cooperators. And so I wonder also if that plays a part, that you have an aging membership.
I mean, I think so, right? To some extent, you know, I think though that you talked about those options, whether it be Spud, you know, we also see options now like Fresh Prep. I mean, just even the way that folks are consuming food, you know, I'm by no means an expert on this, but I'm pretty sure that COVID aside, that people are spending more money on restaurants and takeout than they used to. There's a lot more options than there used to be. And so people are spreading their, you know, their dollars to some extent. And so, you know, and I think that has been a challenge for the food co-op is you're right, to actually replace the members, but also to stay, I mean, it's hard to say to stay relevant, but to really be able to put into place a transformation to be able to keep up with a Spud mm-hmm. or a Fresh Prep. You know, I mean, we did actually look at online delivery. It's interestingly enough, it's, I think that there's this feeling that there's an ability to be able to expand your offering. And that's probably true. The challenge is actually making it or implementing it in a way that's actually sustainable. One of the big, big challenges we've had, and it's been really amplified by the recent crisis, and, you know, especially talking about inflation, it's actually a difficult business to manage margin. Mm-hmm. And then that's definitely one of the other factors that we would say, is making it more difficult to be a small store on Commercial Drive.
Yeah, I imagine so. And as we talked about, you know, all of the other places that we can talk about are now owned by huge corporations. And so, I mean, this market is a race to the bottom on price and margin. And so, yeah, like that's a hard thing to sustain. So, I mean, I'm imagining East End Food Co-op has a lot of relationships with producers, is a member of Federated Cooperatives Limited and selling their products. What is going to be the impact on the other organizations that are touched by the East End Food Co-op and their business?
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, we've really tried to come up with an approach where we want to communicate with our suppliers, and we've done that. And, you know, really, you know, I think it's fair to say that those that are the smaller producers, we're more concerned about, obviously, and making sure that we give adequate notice. So, you know, our final day as a consumer co-op, we're looking at mid-May. But yeah, I think, you know, I think we've really taken that approach whereby that's just part and parcel of any kind of wind down is that making sure that we do our best to do what's right, of course, by our staff, by our membership, and by our suppliers. We, you know, we're part of an ecosystem. You know, there's some co-ops in there, right? And, you know, making sure that we're as genuine and upfront and honest as possible. And, you know, again, maybe we are at the moment exploring opportunities to see if there's alternatives. I know that some of the staff, and this is something that was totally supported by the board and honestly by the membership as well, that we're looking at, is there a potential here for some kind of worker co-op? I'd say anyone listening to this who has any kind of desire or interest in finding out more, and not just from a kind of a practical standpoint, but if they're interested in this from assisting in finding financing or have good ideas on business planning, it's an all hands on deck kind of approach. We really are trying to give this a go. I would really, really put a plea out there to folks that are interested to contact us. Feel free to come into the store. The general manager, Gus, is managing that. They can contact me as well. I don't know, Robin, I'm sure that if they want to contact through you, that you'd forward on to us. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we're all in this together to try and see if there's a way. You know, the second thing to consider here as well is that even in a circumstance whereby there's not an ability to do that quickly, I do know that we'll be looking to host an AGM in June. And I really, you know, there's a couple of reasons to do that. Oh, well, beyond obviously having to do that from a regulatory standpoint, but to really celebrate our past, but actually to maybe look to the future and see if there are other ways and other options to cooperate. And maybe that's, you know, maybe at that point that we're further along with the worker co-op option, but maybe there's also some other things that we can do as a group. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it is interesting. And then I should have been clear about this earlier. The co-op itself, the cooperative is not closing its doors May 15th. The location is. And so it sounds like the board will continue the work through the AGM, and it sounds like you're, you know, turning over every rock for options here. Can you tell us what some of those options potentially are? I mean, you mentioned the worker co-op conversion. What else is on the table?
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, to your point, yeah, we're closing the store really to give us every opportunity to be able to, you know, to make sure that we can kind of gracefully exit from relationships that we might have. And, you know, we've been really looked after by our landlord. Our lease is up in at the end of June, and we really didn't feel that there was an opportunity for us to be able to, you know, to negotiate in a way that was going to be genuine. And so, yeah, that again, the co-op itself, we haven't moved forward to dissolve the co-op yet. And so, you know, there's really the first and foremost priority for us is to work with our staff to see if there's an opportunity for those staff to consider whether there's some way of transitioning, transforming into a worker co-op, maybe in that space. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's definitely something we've looked at. And I think we're continuing to look at and seeing if that's an option. There's also the potential for those same workers or a combination of some staff and some folks from outside to consider coming together and building a worker co-op that locates in another business that they purchase or another space that they purchase. Transform it might not be the same East End food co-op, but that's an option as well. And then I think probably the third thing, and this is again, I kind of talking about dreaming, but if we see a situation where those two options aren't really feasible, is there any, you know, is there anything that the membership or the co-op want to see as we, you know, as we move down the road? And so, you know, that I suppose that's wide ranging, right? Is there an option to form some kind of buying club again? Is there any money left to say, well, look, is this money that we can utilize for this, that, or the other? You know, maybe that's funding some kind of initiative from the staff or another group that are interested in kind of kickstarting the co-op again. So yeah, I think, you know, without being too cryptic, I haven't been too cryptic there, Robin, but there's a few options I think still to be explored, and we're working as hard as we can. I want to thank, you know, I want to thank the staff first and foremost. I want to thank the board and the members. And, you know, we had a meeting last week, and, you know, it was an emotional meeting, if I'm honest. Yeah, of course it was. And people were really sad, and it was you know, it's probably one of the hardest meetings I've ever been to in my life. And, but just the cohesion of this group and the commitment was just, yeah, it's, you know, I'm confident that maybe we can make something happen. But we're gonna have to work hard to make that happen.
Are you getting much support from the cooperative community in Vancouver and BC? Yeah.
Most definitely. Yeah, most definitely. You know, as you said, Robin, right, there's a lot of old school co-op folk who either were part of the founding members of the East End Food Co-op, or, you know, were at one point, you know, made general manager, or, you know, just part and parcel and put their effort in on the East End Food Co-op. But yeah, most definitely, whether it be the BC Co-op Association really being open to assist us as much as possible and assist with any kind of transition or transformation. You know, we've had seen support from the co-op development kind of, I suppose, sector, as I'd like to put it, or the co-op developers. But yeah, just honestly, in times of adversity, I suppose this is when we start to see people come together. Mm-hmm. That's where we come from as co-op folk, right?
Well, we do wish that we had, you know, better things to talk about than the wrapping up of this institution here in Vancouver. It does sound like there still is the potential for something to come out of this. Perhaps it is a metamorphosis. I don't know. We'll certainly be checking in to find out. Is there anything you mentioned earlier, if people are interested in getting involved, they can contact you or they can contact the general manager, Gus, at the store. We can put your contact and the store address on our website. Is there anything that members can do to support just the cooperative in the next, you know, the next month? As we should we all go in there and buy up all the frozen goods?
Yeah. Oh, actually, that's it's a very important question. I think that members, it would be fantastic for everyone to keep shopping as much as possible over the next month. It will help this process immensely. It will give us as good an opportunity as possible to make sure that we're able to transition gracefully. I think, you know, what we're going to try and do as well, we're going to try and have some form of celebration. And, you know, I mentioned maybe in June we'd have some kind of celebration, but I think at the store we're going to try and do something as well. I think we're going to do some promotions as well for members. So, you know, to give back as much as possible to members as much as possible. And so, yeah, I'd say what members can do right now is honestly just to come into the store as much as possible over the next month and make sure that we, we are able to get through that inventory as much as possible.
All right. Well, I'll stock the pantry and the freezer and do wish you all the best in this difficult month ahead. Thank you so much for your time today, Chris. I really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to attending the AGM in June and finding out how this might unfold.
Thanks, Robin. Appreciate it. And we'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks so much.
That was Chris Galloway, board chair of the East End Food Co-op. As Chris said, please continue to shop at the co-op from now until May 15th and reach out to the general manager, Gus Abato, if you have any ideas for transitioning to a worker co-op or other entity. His email is gusabato@gmail.com. That's gusabato@gmail.com. Or just drop in to see him at the store. That's it for this week's edition of Each for All, the Cooperative Connection on Vancouver's Co-op Radio. I'm Joshua Peterman for Robin Puga and the whole team. Have yourself a cooperative week. Stayed when we left that day, heading west to find the